Blog Talk Radio.
We're coming to you live from Sacred Restaurant. How's everybody doing out there? We're still coming to you from two separate states, talking about a certain team known as...
How many more championships do you guys think we're going to predict then this year?
Gentlemen, the only question is, not will they repeat, but how many times?
You know, I don't think we're talking about a repeat, a three-peat, or even a four-peat.
That's right. We're talking a minimum eight-peat.
We're back. It's a part two, like, you know, like a two-hour delay.
Yeah.
Delay of rain.
Yeah. You know, now with the ability now, we can just go live anytime. It's a lot easier that way. It's like a commercial break in the meantime. Can come back anytime you want. But, yeah, thanks, Blog Talk, for actually doing something good for once.
Finally, it's been years of just crap and worse and worse and worse and worse service. Now they finally give us something good. So they'll probably switch it in a year, but that always happens. Anyways, back to pick it up where, I guess, kind of where we left off. I got some thoughts on Hoiberg, or Hoiberg, and I can't ever say his name, like a Hoiberg, and then Hoiberg, and Hoiberg, whatever. This Berg guy is coming to coach. The Berg.
The big Berg.
The Berg. Hey, if he's good, that'll work out.
Yeah.
But we measure success on how well the name
goes,
transitions into superfan mode. But anyways, you know, you mentioned something in the last show about Etuan Moore and how he's very smooth offensively. He's a good offensive player. And I think
our best one outside of Rose, but he shoots better than Rose, so he's like the most potential guy. Like, I think that's the other thing with Thibs. I think he should play a lot more. But like at the same time, you know, the playoffs proved Thibs was right about the minutes all regular season and not playing the bench more. So, kind of, we'll have to see.
But I think with I don't know what Etuan Moore's contract situation is off the top of my head. But if he's with the team next year, maybe that's somebody who gets more playing time in Hoiberg's system, and maybe he can hit that shot consistently, like he's shown that he can always score and drive to the basket. That might be a good option for the Bulls to go to. And you look at a guy like Doug McDermott, who didn't get in at all this year, and he had the injury, and Thibodeau doesn't play rookies and that whole thing. I would have thrown him out there at least a little bit to get some more playing time. But if he can figure his shot out, that's a legit shooter.
Oh, yeah.
That could be a Kyle Korver kind of shooter.
Yeah, that's true. And he was, you know, the small times we did see him, even in college, you know, because that doesn't change in college. Like, he is a really good shooter, so at least we had that going for us. But, you know, he wasn't able to. It's mostly because there's no reason to have him in when you have, now he's going to be gone. But when you have Dunleavy, it's like, you know, Dunleavy is better than him in every way. So there was no reason at the time.
Yeah, I mean, Doug doesn't really play good defense, but he probably never will now.
No,
if you insert a guy just a little more minutes to Etuan Moore, and then if Doug McDermott fills that role for Dunleavy, that'd be great. But he's not going to play the defense Dunleavy does. He's not going to be that glue guy that Dunleavy is. Because Dunleavy's there, the Bulls are better. But you got a guy like him, Moore, Nico, you got to imagine he's going to take that next step, especially with Hoiberg running an offensive-based team. It's just going to make those three, like offensively, the Bulls are not going to struggle to score. Even if they don't have a lights out shooter, they're still going to score. They need Doug McDermott to be really good. That's the bottom line. That has to happen. But I think the Bulls, it's going to be the Mark Trestman year where they light it up on offense and they can't stop anybody on defense. But I think offensively things are going to be really fun to start.
Yeah, it's like, but with Mark Trestman, too, like, at least Trestman's, like, a proven, like, really good offense coordinator. We didn't even know if Hoiberg's going to be, like, that great. Like, you could just have, like, a scam system. Like, unlike Trestman, you know, that's a proven, like, just legitimate, really good system. And, you know, for those who don't know, like, we still wanted, like, Trestman's offensive coordinator. I didn't want him as head coach because going for it in a 4,000, he could have gotten so many field goals, especially when you have guys like Robbie Gould and make him go ice cold because he takes, like, two field goals a year and you're paying him that much and he's so consistent. But so that's the only reason why I didn't want him as head coach. But for offensive coordinator, I'd take him all day.
Of course. Well, now he's at the Ravens, so we're going to see how good Joe Flacco is going to be next year. But I don't know.
Because nobody hides any bad quarterbacks better than Mark Trestman, for sure.
Oh, he's the best at it. And then if Flacco gets hurt, he'll have some random bum come in and tear it up.
Yeah.
Get Josh McCown back there.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait, right. He was great with that system.
And that was just Brown.
I forget that random year where Josh McCown was, like, better than Peyton Manning.
He was better than Aaron Rodgers. He didn't throw any interceptions. He didn't throw one.
Oh my God, really?
I'm pretty sure.
Or threw like threw one or something. But still, it's like that. And I called that out all day. I was just saying it's only because offense are throwing to open people. Like my dog can make those throws. Like there was just easiest thing ever.
And he still played better than Jay. Oh goodness, which is funny. But if you look at the Hoiberg thing, there's a chance he comes there and it just falls flat in his face. Like we were saying, you're like, you know,
it's, like,
right,
it's probably,
very much an unknown. It's probably going to work, but there's a chance it fails completely.
It's probably going to be like you said, it might be I don't know how much different Hoiberg ball is compared to the other stuff, but it might just be like an NFL, wildcat situation where for a while it's good and then, you know, by the end of the year or next season it's figured out and then it's dead. Like all those other guys who come out of college, like the whole, well, I still like the pistol, formation. That is, like, the perfect formation. But still, you know, something where it's, like, at least in terms of effectiveness, like, you can still implement it all the time, like wildcat and pistol, but it's not going to be, like, oh, just, like, the triangle offense. It's, like, a proven, you know, system or, like, the West Coast offense in football where it's, this is just a great system that's here to last. Like, you might be able to use it once in a while. Or, like, the reverses in, like, the late 90s or early 2000s, oh, that totally died. So it could be something like that, but, you know.
Well, from what I watched, it mostly just looked like pick and roll offense with a couple different wrinkles as far as like where guys went. There's a lot. They always set the ball screen at the top of the key, basically, and two guys out in the corners. Like it's very much a basketball wise, it's a very sound system. It makes a lot of sense. It's perfect, and I don't see a problem with it. But you got to hope the veterans buy in. Like I said the other day, you got to hope they have the right personnel to run it. I mean, it could fall flat on its face. Hopefully. The Garfax has some sort of thing in plan to get a shooter, or they probably just think Doug McDermott's going to be the guy next year. So I wouldn't surprise me if they don't bring in any shooters at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it could work. It looks like pick and roll with some different things in it. It'll work. It'll be fine. And I'm not worried about the offense scoring. I know it'll happen. I'm worried about that they're not going to hire a defensive assistant that's actually good. They have to hire the best possible defensive assistant out there.
Well, that and also for the draft, honestly, you have to go shooters and offense. Like, it's going to be a totally different draft than with Sims. And honestly, we'll see how good Hoiberg is with drafts. But if he's not good and Garpacks take over, like, it's going to be like how it was after the Jordan years, where just bust
yep.
after bust after bust, and you do idiot stuff like Tyrus Thomas for, you know, Aldridge and Marcus Teague for Draymond Green and all that total idiotic stuff. And, you know, like all those bailout. All the bailout development from Thibs is not going to happen, so we'll have to see, you know, where they look at and who they can pick up. But it's like, in the end, like, there's no solid base. Like, it's just like the Bears all over again, where it's like, yeah, they got this, yeah, they got that, but with, like, no defense at all, and, like, when you're set up like that and your management is bad, and, like, with the whole, we just need pressure on defense without telling till, okay, they know, like, literally the entire management knows nothing about defense. Like, the head coach doesn't know, the GM doesn't, he's not a true, or Phil Emery, he's not a true football guy. He's just like a Madden video game specialist just taken in to be a GM, basically, or it's like, at the end of the day, it's just, like, not going to work out. And that's,
yeah.
That's kind of the situation we're in now, where it's like, yeah, it might be, you know, hot and kind of cool to watch, but it's like, playoffs, you're dead, you know, it's like, it's going to get figured out, it's going to burn out, and then it's just going to be really bad, like the Bears situation all over again.
It's going to be like the Mike D'Antoni teams, where they're great on offense, they score a ton of points.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they get to the playoffs, and they don't win anything because they can't stop anybody.
Yeah, because like, in basketball, you need defense in order to win the finals at the end of the day. You can't go to nothing. That's never happened before.
If the Warriors didn't have a defense, they would have been eliminated by now. As good as offensively as that team is, but the games where their offense maybe sputtered a little bit and Curry and Clay weren't on, their defense held them in.
Defense in the league.
I hate that saying, the defense wins championships, but it's true. It's 110% accurate.
Yeah, and even with basketball, it's where it's similar to football too, where it's like you still need to get defense. Like you need superstars in defense at the end of the day in order to win a title. But yeah, with Hoiberg, I just feel like the base and core is gone, and now you got to wait a long time for things to get cleaned up management wise. But honestly, it's like, I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, obviously put together the '90s Bulls, but it's like I don't know if he can really do it again, or it's like. I mean, it's so, like, hard for that to happen, especially when, I mean, like, sticking with Garpax is the wrong decision. But at least he found Thibs, so there. I mean, there's, like, definitely more hope there than with the Bears and McCaskey situation. But it's going to be rough, you know. I mean, like, best-case scenario, honestly, it's better for next year to tank or for Dark Pax to be proven bad. I mean, even if Hoiberg is a decent coach and you just, you know, have him bring a coordinator and then just get rid of Dark Pax, like that, you know, that might actually work, but we'll love to see.
The only hope we have is that Hoiberg works out and he actually cares about defense. And defense, doesn't, it won't be as good as Thibodeau's defense, but it's good enough to be a
but
top,
and,
you know,
and
top
that's where the system comes in, because, like, Pop doesn't do anything defensive. Well, I mean, he does, like, executing, like, universal defense. Like, he doesn't do any game planning. All of his assistants do. That's why when he had Mike Brown and Thibodeau as, you know, coordinators, then that's perfect. You know, Thibodeau even more so because he's, you know, like, the perfect guy for watching film and making adjustments that way. So it's like, you know, like I've always said, that's the greatest coaching duo, is have Popovich as the head coach and Tom Thibodeau as the main assistant to, you know, run all that stuff. But that's what the whole thing is, bringing in the defense. But, you know, then again, Garpak's true. They're complete idiots when it comes to that, so they're not going to find the right assistant because they're the ones who fired Mike Adams. So it's not going to turn out good either way.
But the only hope we have is that Derrick Rose consistently gets closer and closer back to what he was. Maybe he learned. Maybe that jump shot gets a little better from beyond the arc. You know, that's the hope we have. I'm not expecting it. You got to hope that. Basically, if the Hoiberg thing works out, I hate his name already. it's gonna cause me a lot of trouble. Hopefully, they come up with a short name for him.
We just call him the Hoy Man or the Berg.
I'm gonna call him Fred.
Okay.
When Fred's system, if it works out, and Derrick Rose,
no one's gonna know who that is at all. Like, the Fred guy. No one's called him Fred in like all of media once, like without Hoiberg, like not even like his family doesn't even call him Fred. They're like, hey, like his kids are like, hey Hoiberg, get over here.
They're like, oh coach. So when Fred's system works out, and if they play good enough defense, they could maybe win a championship if Rose is great and he's the same exact person that we expect him to be when he steps on the court. But the problem is they still got to go through that guy wearing 23 in Cleveland. And they're not going to – it's still going to come
it's
down.
It's
going to
be way worse now.
It's going to be LeBron guarding Rose, potentially with Thibodeau coaching LeBron guarding Rose.
That's going to be a sweep. Third by like 40 points. Because it's like before, the only reason why the Bulls were alive was because they was, you know, guarding LeBron and that team so well. But like the Cavs defense, LeBron's defense, like, and all of them getting those, you know, like, you know, defensive dumb guys, like, they're still going to be there around LeBron, the defensive, you know, role player idiots that LeBron's just like the, like dumb defensive whisperer. That's the only reason why he makes it work, a dumb offensive whisperer, and just bringing a bunch of idiots. LeBron will make it work somehow with these scrap guys. That versus Hoiberg is going to be like total rape. Like, it's going to be like you on offense, they're going to figure you out and guard you really well, and then you on defense, you're just going to get destroyed. Like, it's going to be way worse than it is now. And also, we've been in the NBA hell since the Jordan era up until Thibs got here, and then wasn't until Thibs was here where it's like, wow, we actually have a chance at a title. I mean, even look at the playoff appearances. Before Thibs got here, we only had, I think it was like one in however many seasons, and then once Thibs got here, it was three in the last five. So it's like you go from 99 to beforehand. It was like, how many years is that? What is it, like one in 11 years, and Thibs gets here, and it's three in five. So it's like, it's, you know, there's a lot of, there's like not much chance to stay the same. There's like no chance to get better, but there's like a lot of room to fall, basically, at this point.
It's going to be ugly. Like, I don't see a situation where things – the Bulls didn't get better by getting rid of Thibodeau, and there's really no option to get better now. So you're only going to get worse. That's it. That's the only way to go, is to downgrade. So the Bulls are screwed, bottom
line. And like, good guard packs, they can't see coaches. They can't get a good coach. I mean, they're the ones who gave Thibs the extension, too. So it's like you gave him the extension and then fired him before the extension was over. So it's like they just have the worst history with head coaches possible. I mean, just like Gar Fulman wanting not Mike Adams, wanting Mike Brown, and wanting that bum guy. I'm never gonna remember his name because he's not even worth remembering. The under 500 coach. Like, why would you ever want him? That's like the NFL equivalent of like just picking everybody up from Jacksonville. That's the whole thing. So this literally is the Bears all over again. That's how Jacksonville defensive coordinator. That's all it
Mel
is.
Mel Tucker.
Yeah, Mel Tucker, and Gus Foreman wants like Mel Tucker to be like head coach.
He probably was the next candidate on the roster for people if they can get Hoiberg.
Yeah, literally for head coach of basketball, Mel Tucker was like the Gar Foreman's third pick. Like, hey, you know, Jacksonville, I think those guys can be great basketball coaches. Like, yeah, I'd be surprised. Oh, my God.
But speaking of this playoff stuff in general, the James Harden meltdown was probably the worst playoff choke I've ever seen. 13 times. How do you have to turn the ball over 13 times? How can you not dribble?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing, too, is, like, these set – it's a combination set of offense, but, like, still, at the end of the day, like as a player, like, you got to know, okay, the pass isn't there, so I got to, like, improvise or, like – well, that's the problem, too, where Tibbs doesn't adjust. But still, in 2011, like, it was smooth. Like, it's, like, when – or, and that's smooth. Well, it was smooth when Rose had the ball.
Yeah.
When he has the ball and taking over, like, then the set offense doesn't matter because Rose is just saying, hey, give me a pick. And that's where – see, that's where Tibbs is smart, is when – you know, because he's only smart in two ways. Where if somebody's hot, he'll keep getting the ball. And the second way, with a superstar, he'll, you know, run plays they don't want to run. So that's the two ways he's smart. So if he has a superstar like Rose, like 2011 Rose, or 2010 and 2012, but still like that Rose where it's like he just runs it all, then he's fine. Or if like somebody's hot, like Dunleavy, give him the ball time, then they're fine. But when, you know, like this team, like Popovich style, no one's a true superstar, everyone's okay, like that's where you're going to fall apart. He needs to scrap guys, and, you know, he needs, like, that 2011 team. But, yeah, that's just, you know, falling out of this team.
Did you ever think in a couple of years ago that you would long for the days of when Derrick Rose would come off the court and Lou Alden would stay on and he would just, like, clunk his way through the lane and score while Derrick Rose was off the floor? Like,
yeah.
I never thought I'd wish we had that again.
Oh, I know. It's like I kind of miss Lou Alden, especially because we have no length against LeBron, and then he'll just – because you need to contest that ball. You can't put a hand in his face, and especially, you know, the low post. That's why I said, too, in 2012, you know, Durant guard LeBron great, because it doesn't matter if you post him all the way down. You still got to shoot over somebody who's 6'11 with a 7'4 wingspan.
Yeah.
Like, that's still – I'd rather have that than have LeBron shoot over some, like, midget guy. Like I mean, or, you know, you could have, like Jerome Bettis at 5'10", and, you know, LeBron can't get in position at all, but he'll just shoot right over him versus Durant. You're, like, directly on the hoop, but that's still a lower percentage shot. And that's the thing I miss about Dang was just because of that length. But and that's even against the Bucks, that was a problem. Giannis just kept driving on us because we don't have the length to answer.
That was why Rose was so bad against them, too, is the length was just killing the Bulls.
Yeah, and that's where Dang would have come in because Dang would guard Giannis really good. Especially, too, when it's a guy like that who doesn't have much agility. So the only person who has length is Taj, and Taj isn't agile at all because he's a power forward. He's a pure power forward.
Yeah, I miss Lou Alden because, like, when he would get the ball, he was the most unorthodox, clunky player ever, but he had this, like, calming effect on me when I watched him.
And that shot was perfect, too.
Yeah, he was just
sitting in the corner and Rose, yeah, I mean, with the, you know, takeover offense, like, you know, like the ISO classic, you know, everyone get out of the way. Well, Rose needs picks, but other than that, like, everyone get out of the way and he's got to stay in the corner. Like, he's a perfect role player. That's exactly what you want for a role player.
It was perfect. It was perfect. He was the best player to guard LeBron besides Kawhi Leonard.
But, yeah, and like for LeBron, like, solo, like, Bullard probably did, like, just as good of a job.
Yeah,
I mean,
he did.
He probably did even better.
On-ball. So, on-ball defense, Butler was good, if not better.
But also, too, going back to the guard packs thing, like, if they really, you know, had this much problems with coaching, then they should just pull a Popovich, because both of them are former assistants, so why not just pull a Popovich and just become head coach and, like, stop, you know, complaining if you know so much about basketball, then, like, actually show it and stop, you know, blaming everybody else and just do it yourself, man. I mean, you have, like, two GMs, basically. Why do you need two GMs? Just one of you go out and coach them.
I agree. Well, yeah, what's the point? I've been saying that, you know what, maybe that's the answer. Maybe Garpax just has to coach. It's not the answer, but that's
that would prove how bad they are because then once they actually play, it's like then they're going to fall apart. So they got to bring in a guy to blame and everything else.
And the only reason Paxson has a career is because Michael Jordan gave him one. That's the bottom line. He wouldn't even be in this position without Michael Jordan.
Well, I mean, all he did was bring the Bulls from, you know, before when that Jerry Krause was still GM for, like, a couple of years and they fell apart. Like, all he did was bring them from, like, absolutely horrible to, like, barely even in NBA hell. And then, and Gar Foreman was there from the start, too, as a scout. So, like, that's all the Bulls did. And then Jerry Reinsdorf, like, I don't know if it's because, you know, the NBA hell years were so bad and he screwed up so bad that just going, you know, staying out of there and being in NBA hell, you know, like, financially, the business, like, oh, my God, at least we're not the laughing stock of the NBA. At least we're, you know, in the playoffs, you know, once in a while. We're, you know, an okay team that he's just so scared of getting rid of them that he thinks he's going to go back to that area. But, I mean, that's literally all they can do.
It just – they wasted a – I mean, They wasted a big opportunity, and the Derrick Rose injuries were very unfortunate, and that also put a big strain on things. I think had he not gotten injured, they might have had a chance to win a title at some point. They might have been able to squeak by something if, I don't know, probably not. They probably just lost to LeBron like they've been losing.
Yeah, I know. It's like the same losing five, like I said last show. It's always losing five in this game. They just got a lucky bank shot from Rose. It's still losing five. But even with the whole healthy thing, like, you know, he was only healthy like 210 out of those 445 Rose game or Thibs games. Even Thibs' regular season like percentage with Rose is like 72.
Fourth best all time.
No, that's with having him less than half the games. If he, like, when Rose is healthy, his regular season percentage is like is something crazy, like 78% or something, which is, you know, make him the greatest coach of all time, basically. And even going more into injuries, like the whole Cavs thing, everyone's like, oh, you know, I mean, his team's, you know, like injury ridden, but this whole, you know, Kevin Love. Like Thompson's playing better than Kevin Love. Like that whole Dennis Rodman system of, you know, him just getting all the rebounds and everything and playing really good defense and like outfighting even guys like Taj Gibson. So he's like the super Dennis Rodman. Like Kevin Love didn't do anything. So if you're not going to do anything, it's the same like the Pau Gasol versus Taj Gibson effect. Like if you're not going to give the ball to Pau, then you might as well have Taj in there because he rebounds better and plays better defense. The same thing with Kevin Love. Since Kevin Love wasn't getting the ball much, like the Cavs are way better with Tristan Thompson. I mean, the Kyrie Irving thing, you know, that's a real problem. The Bulls still had their best chance, you know, having even just bench depth. But in terms of, like, you know, starter, like the Thompson thing, he's playing better.
Well, and then if you look at – they don't really miss Kevin Love's three-point shot because J.R. Smith is usually on. If J.R. Smith's not on, Shumpert's been on. So, like, those two guys have been alternating. They haven't even had the bust out that goes to Mike Miller, really, except for that one game with the Bulls.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I guarantee he comes on the finals and goes on a crazy stretch.
Shoeless.
It's going to happen because he just doesn't hit a shot until the finals and it'll carry you.
If LeBron, and I say if LeBron beats us because that's kind of how it's been. If LeBron beats the Warriors, I think my opinion of him, I'll finally, I don't want to like the guy, but I might actually be like, you know what? That's impressive. Like that.
Yeah, he's not better than Jordan, but he's finally like legit, like completely legit, like top five now.
Yeah, he enters my top three probably ever if he beats the Warriors.
Yeah,
he's been clutch. He's hit some really big shots. He's everything that I've ever said about him. He's proven
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, ever since that buzzer beater in Game Four like changed everything. Like so when I was watching it, I was like, what? Is this real life? Is this a bad dream? Like this, like it even felt fake, like watching the celebration and like the crowd. It just seemed like a dream. Like it didn't even seem like real life. Like, hey, you know, the guy who misses clutch shots all the time, you see like the biggest shot ever and in return of Rose and call for the ball. Because he finally did, you know, what he should have done from the start where he's like, you know, no, like scratch this play. Just give me the ball. Like, hey, oh, cool. You finally, you know, finally got it. Like you finally realized what he has to do to win. It took him forever.
I'm still in shock.
Yeah, but even going back to the injury thing, another perfect example of the running your team in the ground thing is better. Like, look at the Cavs running in the ground, and then they sweep the Hawks, where the Hawks are, like, the ultimate, you know, minute restriction team ever, and they just completely fell apart. Because stats-wise, the Hawks had the lowest minutes for starters and the lowest amount of injuries, and then once you get the playoffs, you're totally done. That doesn't work. And the whole Popovich system, like, Tim Duncan, even when he was young, he played over 40 minutes a game when he was young. Like, that's only for, like I've said forever, that's only for players who are no longer developing. Like, that's the only time you restrict minutes. Otherwise, you never restrict starters' minutes.
Could you imagine if Popovich didn't restrict Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan's minutes? Like, they would be dead right now. That'd be it. But it's like, once they get to that point, it's like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Rose
then you're
developing.
But
still developing. We've been over this a million times. It's just bottom line is the truth, and RPAC doesn't get it. So when the new guy comes in, it's going to be the same shit.
Oh, yeah, and then when you like I said, like look at Joakim Noah, like the minute restrictions, like that's like that totally destroyed him. Like finally, like it was the last couple games of the Cavs Bulls series where he finally started getting it together. Just that Cavs Bulls series, like in general, for the later games, it took him forever. But had he, you know, played the minutes before, you know, you'd be ready earlier. That's just how it is. And there's a team chemistry and everything, and it was just awful. That's what killed him at the end of the day. It was just the minute restrictions and lack of practice and everything else.
something.
Oh, yes. I have to get the Blackhawks in there. I don't have a lot of thoughts on the Blackhawks. But, you know, if there's anything in Chicago that's run properly, I think the Cubs are run properly as well. But if there's anything that's really proven, and obviously the Blackhawks are, the Blackhawks have turned into the Spurs of the NHL. I love it. They're like, you know, they don't repeat, but they're always, you can never just count them out. They've lost, even if they lose in the second round or the first round, they're not a team you ever want to play. They've been, this team is, you know, they had a must win in game six and they wrecked them. And then they wrecked them in game seven against Anaheim, which is a really good team. The Hawks are just awesome. They have the Popovich of the NHL. They have the Tim Duncan of the NHL and Jonathan Toews. And then Patrick Kane is arguably the best player in hockey this year. It's been a crazy year with the injuries, and you don't know if Patrick Kane was going to come back. We thought he was done, and he comes back, and he's just as good as he ever has been. And this is the craziest thing. Now they're playing Tampa. Interesting. Tampa's been through some original six teams to get there. They're a younger team. Stamkos is really good. The Blackhawks are, you know, they're out there experienced. They've been there. They got two cups. The coach, they got all sorts of veterans on that team, as well as a bunch of young guys who are hungry. This is going to be a really good Stanley Cup, but our prediction streak, moral of the story, could live on and
yeah.
keep going.
It's because they got built up with the Blacks again. Like, finally, the Blackhawks, like seeing this one more time.
I was so worried. I was legitimately worried that they were going
to Well, because then we're seriously on the line pressure-wise, because then we have to get NFL right, and this year, like, NFL is totally up for grabs. Like, we have to get NFL right or it's done. Like, the streak ends. Like, we didn't get the minimal 8-peat, but if the Blackhawks win, we got seven. So we got three chances, and we have to predict NFL would technically be two in a year, but yeah, we'll count it. So we have to get either NFL right or NBA right or NHL right next year, and then we finally got our minimal 8-peat, which was, like, the original goal. But yeah, this is like a random fact. But next year, actually, Kobe, Duncan, Manu, Popovich, Pierce, and Dirk could all retire next year, which would be crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, because all those guys, you know, like basically next year is like their last year, and a lot of I think everyone's contract except for Dirk's next year is their last year for all those guys' contracts, and you know they're all very likely to retire. So it's gonna be a totally different era of basketball, especially with you know Manu and. Duncan and Pop retiring. That's like a totally different era. And then Kobe, obviously, that's the end of an era. And, you know, even just, oh, cool, I'm just reiterating everything all over again. But,
oh, cool, do it again.
But Paul Pierce, too, that's like a totally different era. And, you know, Dirk, obviously, it's like that's like the whole early 2000s era, like officially dead. You know, T-Mac obviously died the earliest, but it's like we're officially, you know, completely out of that generation right there.
Yeah, and it's like now we're, you know, we've been in the LeBron era of basketball, obviously. But now it's like there's no, the old guard is gone at that point after next year. And then you could, you know, that makes you wonder, is a team like the Warriors, are they going to be the new guys in the West for a while if they win this with the Curry and Thompson?
Yeah, and
I mean,
that's the thing, too, is these, you know.
Got a good era of basketball.
Yeah, making the finals for the first time ever and, you know, all these teams making the playoffs and, you know, weird teams like the Clippers and Warriors who were the laughingstock for forever. It's totally different age right now. Like now we're entering a new age. Those two, because, you know, LeBron's, you know, hitting towards the end of his career, well, you know, or at least his peak of his career is coming to an end here. So what after that, it's like totally up for grabs, new era of basketball. Who knows what's going to happen? And it's like
now,
a new age of coaching and everything, too, in philosophy. You have this new, you know, statistician-type offense where, oh, you know, we take tons of threes because, you know, the whole, you know, oh, 33% of threes is the same as 50% from, you know, mid-range and or driving, you know, 50% from two-pointers, basically. So it's a whole new age right now.
You know, out west, you have so many good, just so much talent out there. So many good young teams. The Clippers are still young. I still don't think they're ever going to win anything. It's Chris Paul to me. Still, just I mean, he has it. And he's great, but he just didn't pull through when in this next that round against Golden State. But you look at Golden State; they're for real. Those dudes are just like that's a real thing. They might win a couple championships. We'll see how things go with free agents.
Yeah, it's mostly
Steve Kerr's rising to that coaching ladder.
Yeah, it's also, too, like, will the Steve Kerr offense be figured out? Because that was just, like, well, that combined with the whole, you know, like Thibodeau defense, like switching over. Like, that was the main thing. So you have, like, this crazy offense that's never been invented before for, like, the great, like, that's probably the greatest fit in, like, the history of the world is Steve Kerr going to the Splash Brothers to coach.
Doubt.
Like, you couldn't have, like, literally in history, there's never been a more perfect fit than that. Like, the, like, for anything ever, like, not even sports. And then you just bring over Thibs defense. It's like, oh my God, you know, just, that's just like the perfect, not that Thibs defense is a perfect combination, but, you know, to be that good, well, their first defense is like to have that kind of defense combined with the greatest fit of a coach ever. You know, that's why it's so good, but that'll be the true test of Steve Kerr long-term. If it's just, you know, if it's going to stay to last and how it's going to judge, I think it will be because, you know, Steve Kerr has been running that same thing and, you know, same type of offense and, moving for a long time. I think that's just like a legitimate thing, like a triangle offense that
yeah,
like West Coast offense.
Well, when you got a guy like Steph Curry who's just a natural shooter, it doesn't matter how you guard him. There's really nothing.
Yeah,
can,
and then Steve Kerr will always find a way
it.
To get open. So it's like, I mean, especially too, like if they get like real post players, like this team, I mean, it's good, but it's not like great. Like there's no like ultra superstar on that team. Like even Steph Curry isn't like a true ultra superstar. Like everyone's just really, really good.
He just shoots extremely well.
Yeah. It's like the whole team is just really, really good. But if you ever have like a true, like inside threat, like in my, my player for 2K, I create a guy who's like, he's kind of like Shaq, but you know, he can shoot too. But even still, if you had like somebody like Shaq on this team, like that, boom, like greatest team of all time. Like that's all you need is like a true interior threat like that, offensive threat and, you know, defensive rim protector like that. And like, boom, like greatest team ever, just because then, you know, you post Shaq up and then once you try and double team, pass out three all day. There's nothing you can do.
And then, you know, and you look at the West, you got a team like the Thunder who have that new coach and Billy Donovan, who I think is a good coach. I think he's better than Scott Brooks. We'll see how he does in the pros. But that's another thing that could be rising again. With everyone healthy, if everyone stays healthy, and Ibaka coming back and Durant coming back and Westbrook doing what he did last year, if they ever figure that thing out, who the hell is going to beat them? What I hope happens, I hope no one leaves the Thunder when the free agent time comes. I hope it's the Warriors and the Thunder moving forward and for the next little bit of time in the NBA. Those teams are really fun, and I think we're lining up for that because I think the Spurs thing's finally done. Because Mono's really old. Parker's getting even looking like he's slowing down.
Next year's not going to last.
I think
the weird thing is Popovich is like almost acting like they're rebuilding next year, and he's like going for then the media saying he's going for big free agents, but Popovich makes it sound like a rebuilding, which is weird because you make it think like if you're rebuilding, you know, you think you'd retire now. But I don't know if Manu, I don't know, like you'd know better than me, obviously. Like how do you think it's gonna go down? You think Pop's just gonna keep staying until Tony Parker's done, or do you think if Duncan and Manu retire next year, they'll both go, like all three of them will go out and just leave Park out to dry, basically?
He's always said he's going to go with Tim. That's when he's going to retire. However,
yeah, like always. Although, like, play-wise, I mean, like, it would make total sense if Manu retires because he needs to retire the most and Duncan just keeps playing with Parker because, I mean, Duncan, like, was Duncan. Like, he was just 90s Duncan all over again. He was dunking on people all the
time.
Awesome. It was, I mean, that was really spectacular to watch.
He's fast again.
Oh, yeah, I know, because he lost all that weight. So, like, if Duncan can, you know, keep being – and plus, too, at power forward, like, he doesn't even need to do that much. That's why before he lost the weight and he was, you know, like, you know, he went from, you know, like, the greatest power forward ever to just, you know, like, a really solid, you know, player. Like, even if he regresses back down to that really solid player, he's still going to be playing for a long time. So, it's like, you know, he'll stick around probably. Like, he'll probably push, you know, how old is he now, like 40?
He's 38, I think.
I'll look it up right now, but he'll probably push Jordan for like the same, you know, playing to 40.
39. Plus. He's gonna be 40.
Oh my god!
So if you look
still
at it,
he's playing fine. So it's like
he's playing as good as he's playing better than pretty much everybody better than anybody who's ever played at age 39 for the most part.
That's true.
He's way better than Wizards Jordan. Tim Duncan's arguably the best power forward in basketball at times still.
Probably everyone except for. Kareem, just because, you know, he was old as dirt, but all he did was a hook shot, so you can do that until you're like 90. But defensively, he's better, though. So,
but if you look at what Pop always said, he always said he's going to go with Tim. That's when he's going to retire. However, that's before he had a Kawhi Leonard who keeps
that's true.
Skip Bayless.
But it's like it's never going to end then, because he's going to keep like finding like superstars. And then she's like, well, now you know, it was Tim Duncan, but now it's Tony Parker. Well, now it's Kawhi Leonard. You know, he'll just keep going on forever.
And Kawhi's not leaving. He's already said he's not leaving San Antonio. So I wonder if Pop is going to try to stretch this as long as he can and not retire with Tim. I'm sure it depends on how everything's going. Like if Parker, you know, maybe if Parker looks totally awful when Tim goes to retire and Kawhi isn't quite the superstar that maybe we all think he can be, and I certainly think he could be as pro as well as probably Pop. Maybe he doesn't retire then, or maybe he does retire then. I think it's going to depend on how Kawhi develops and if Kawhi keeps getting better. If he keeps getting better, why would you leave?
Yeah, I know. Plus, too, you know, like what would he do? Like, oh yeah, he even said before, like, you know, he likes. They're saying, so what'd you do in the off season, or I don't know, said something about retirement. He's like, well, you know, you can only grow so many tomatoes before you get bored, because you know that's like all he does. So it's like, so he's probably not going to retire anytime soon. Like Thibodeau. Well, I guess we never got into what Stiv's going to do next, because like reports came out, like, for one, that he wasn't interested in Pelicans or Orlando, and sure enough, like, they didn't even interview him, so it's like, why wouldn't you interview him if you said how much you wanted him? So, like, I don't know if he's going to sit out this year, which seems impossible, you know, that everyone jokes about the whole Kate Upton thing, because, you know, the whole Kate Upton rumors that he started on his own and stuff, so it's like, so I was like, hey, just going to spend time, you know, spend some quality time with Kate, and, you know, take off, maybe start a family, but seriously, like, he's just going to take off this year and wait for the Tank Commander and the Lakers coach to tank one more year to try and get a good draft pick and then come back the year after. But it's like then the whole Kobe Thibs perfect connection is never going to happen. So I don't know what's going to happen there.
I think he's either going to A, sit out, because the two jobs that he would have taken that he was rumored to be interested in, or they were interested in him, are now signed. You know, they signed coaches. So I'm wondering if he's going to sit out a year, unless Black gets fired, which I don't know if he's going to get fired. They just went to the finals.
Who's that?
David Blatt from Cleveland.
Oh, Blatt. They said Black.
That's the dark horse in this situation. Like,
yeah,
I think
it's
if he doesn't go to Cleveland, he's not going anywhere this year.
It's like that or the Knicks, but I don't think Phil Jackson would fire Derek Fisher. Plus, you know, Phil Jackson still wants a tank, especially when you did all that tanking and only got a fourth pick. So it's like you definitely need some more tanking over there. But with it's probably a telling tale. But then if he doesn't get Cleveland, then what some people are saying too, there's a small chance he might even go back with Doc Rivers and be an assistant in, with the Clippers and everything. That's like another rumor. If he does that, the Clippers are winning it, like without a doubt.
That would be insane.
Yeah, no, it's like
with
the
Blake Griffin and that his potential.
Yeah, it's like Doc Rivers like Thibodeau dynasty now. It's like an actual thing, and then he'll just dominate with that. Or
he needs to go to San Antonio.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna say that or San Antonio, but the only thing is, you know, Popovich and Thibs disagree on the whole like working out. That can't work, because then like Duncan will be shooting around and Thibs will come down because you know he was there and he's like, hey Duncan, you're not gonna run you into the ground. Like let's run 50 marathons a day. It's like
Tim would look at him and be like, get out of here, Tom. he'd be like, Pop hasn't talked to me in years. Be quiet.
Yeah, but Tibbs can't be quiet. He can't even, like, it's going to be like the baseball game where he's got to walk back and forth 800 times, just practicing waving and walking out of the mound. Like he's never learned how to walk before.
I got to get this on the record. I'm taking back my statement of what I said earlier, that the Spurs could potentially be done. No, I don't think they are, because I think Kawhi's going to keep getting better, and I think Duncan's not going anywhere anytime soon. So I think that Popovich will end up staying. That's just throwing a prediction out there. I think Popovich can end up staying.
So Kawhi's done?
Probably.
Yeah, but then before Kawhi's done, he'll find like the next Michael Jordan. And he's got to stay even longer yet.
It's he's gonna be 90.
He's just gonna go until he literally dies.
Spurs haven't missed the playoffs in 30 years, and Pop's still coaching. Actually, 30 years isn't that far away.
Yeah, 30 years is like tomorrow.
Basically, yeah. So it's going to be like 60 years. So he's going to be on his like 16th dynasty. He's going to have 45 championships. Like,
yeah, it's going to happen. Tim Duncan's had the longest career in sports history.
Like, he's never not been in the playoffs. Not won 50 games.
Like Tim Duncan's got like a longer career than like Hulk Hogan. Even like sports entertainment industry is going even longer than him.
No joke. Tim has never not been in the playoffs, and he's never not won 50 games.
I know. Like,
that's crazy. That doesn't even make sense. How's that possible? He's never lost in his life. He doesn't even know what it's like to lose and not be in the playoffs. He literally has no clue what it feels like.
That batter being like a bad system. Like he doesn't know anything other than popping and winning. Like that's literally it. But no, it's like if Sibs could go back to with Doc Rivers and everything. Plus, like he even like when he got fired, like he got a bunch of text messages from former players, like, you know, giving their, make it sound like he died or like he got diagnosed with cancer, like, you know, like text with players, you know, saying like, oh, you know, he's basically, you know, giving him support and everything. And, you know, he said, you know, like, he got emotional about that and all the former coaches, like basically, you know, like everyone loves Sibs. So he got, you know, and even Paul Pierce came out and said like Sibs was like, he's like probably the biggest part of our 2008 run and everything. So it's like, yeah, just all the love from the NBA for Tibbs. And even, like, from fans, like, I, you know, follow NBA right all the time. Like, everyone wanted Tibbs, and even the Pelicans fans, like, probably from Bulls fans, it was, like 60% of, or, like, 60, 65. But from the rest of the NBA, it was, like, 90% of fans from every organization other than the Spurs wanted Tibbs. Like, only a small 10% were, you know, scared of the running in the ground stuff. But it's, like...
No, the 10% was just Spurs fans.
No, I mean 10% of like Pelicans fans.